Miller, and Condon.
Ken Miller.
Oh, mama!
Trent Condon.
Four.
This is Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon on a Monday. Start of Super Bowl week, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon and Ken Miller for the next couple of hours talking sports with you. Thanks for spending some of the morning here with us. BMW of Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. We'll talk Cyclones at the bottom of the hour with our friend Nick Olson from 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Nick up first. Iowa State coming off a convincing win over Kansas. They head to Morgantown on Wednesday night. Nick Olson on Iowa State begins the guests here today in about 30 minutes. Jimmy B, yes, Jim Brinson back with us Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week. He is based in Phoenix. He is going to be actually along Media Row all week long. At least he says he is. Probably golfing. I've been there. Not been there with him, but certainly experienced that with him. Jimmy B, 10 minutes before noon. Then 10 minutes after noon, Nick Athan, Chiefs insider, will get his take on Chiefs and Eagles before Scott Dockerman brings the guest list to a close on a Monday. Of course, The Athletic for Doc, taking a look back at Iowa's win over the weekend in a pretty darn good basketball game over the Fighting Illini as they beat them by a bucket. Trent's plays of the day, pretty good game to end the night. Kansas hosting Texas on Big Monday. We'll see if that is part of it. But away we go, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot of college basketball because that's all there was. How are you?
I'm doing well.
And I'm not complaining, by the way, because it was good.
You didn't watch any Pro Bowl.
I didn't watch a pass, or I didn't watch a play, and I didn't watch a shift of the hockey.
Not at all.
I didn't see a thing, and I couldn't care less, and I'm proud of myself.
So last night, NFL Network had a replay of the flag football game. I ended up watching probably half hour
Did
of
you?
It, something like that. Yeah, just had it on kind of in the background more than anything, but I was mildly entertained.
Really?
I mean, there wasn't
the flag football?
There wasn't anything else going on.
I mean, CBS putting up what did they have? Michigan and I don't remember who they played.
Ohio State.
Ohio State. Yeah, that was a. And then Nebraska, Wisconsin was okay.
Didn't get into that.
The nightcap was Wisconsin Northwestern. The game that preceded, my God, I watched a lot of hoops over the weekend.
I guess, man.
Who did Nebraska beat? I don't even remember. Penn State.
Yeah.
Penn State beat them. Hoiberg's kid plays a lot. Yes, a lot.
That should be a problem, right?
Well, he played 20 minutes, and you know what?
There's a reason they're 11-13.
Well, he was okay in the game. He was actually decent in the basketball game. But anyways, big college basketball weekend. A little normalcy for one more Sunday coming up here. Super Bowl, Eagles, Chiefs. Boy, there's a lot of Eagles love out there.
There is.
There's a lot of Eagles love out there.
I'm happy to have my ticket already in my back pocket. I got to get my props out, though. I got to work on this. So I started to peruse last night, as it was a light night in sports.
Well, there was nothing. Oh, did you watch The Bullies of Baltimore?
No, it's on the DVR.
It is so good.
So I missed it when it first started, and I forgot it was on, and I hadn't set the DVR beforehand.
Yeah.
There was a replay on ESPN2 last night at like 11.
Okay.
And I thought maybe it was going to be, and then I saw it's 2 hours. I'm like, well,
it is.
I need to have the full 2 hours if I'm going to watch this thing. So that is on the agenda here for this evening after everything wraps up on college basketball with Kansas-Texas. Which should be a great
I think game. It's going to be terrific, yeah.
But, good, I'm going to guess.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you forget, and it wasn't that long ago, just how dominant that defense was.
Sure.
And then to come to realize that Tony Siragusa passed away, and he's a big part of the show. I mean, he's a big part of the show. I'm not going to, watch it.
Okay.
I won't spoil it for you. I won't say, if you've watched it, I'm guessing you thought it was pretty good. Look, there was nothing on. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. I enjoyed it. Anyway, so let's get to the basketball from over the weekend. Iowa State, Kansas started first, so we will go there. Iowa State never gave them a chance. They never gave them a chance. I mean, Wilson got his, but other than that, Grady Dick did not do much in the basketball game. Adams, who killed him in Lawrence, was a non-factor in the game. The bench scoring was all Joseph Yesufu.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
Kansas looked totally disjointed. They looked as though they never played in that type of environment before. It was from the get-go. It was all Iowa State.
Defense was outstanding.
Yes.
and they dominated the game. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot to break. They were a lot better.
Yep, start to finish.
They were a lot better basketball team, and they were able to do it in a variety of different ways. But, you know, the story on a national view or even a regional view, is it more about Kansas? Yeah, Iowa State's story, second in the Big 12 right now. Huge surprise.
Second betting favorite in the Big 12, too. They're 3-1. Texas is even money.
As they should be. But when you look at that just as a Big 12 lens, Kansas lost 4 out of 5.
Uh-huh.
And they have never done that in the Bill Self era.
This isn't a team that looks as though they're going to make a long run, Trent.
And I thought they were going to get there. Uh-huh. But you go through and you look at it. Yes, Jalen Wilson is awesome.
Oh, he's probably player of the year in the conference.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He is that good.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? You know, KJ Adams had that stretch, about a week and a half, where, all right, he's figured it. No, he hasn't.
Nope.
He's kind of the same guy.
McCullough gave them nothing. Harris is not known for scoring, but he really was, he didn't hardly notice him on the floor. Grady Dick, when he's not making shots, this is a different basketball team. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a one-man band. It's Wilson. You know, and they need somebody to go along with him, and they didn't have that. And that's Iowa State, man. They took them out of that. Adams killed him. Adams did nothing in that basketball game. They had a plan for him. Grill and Kalscher, neither of who scored in double digits. I mean, Iowa State, literally leading scorer, Holmes had 15. 15.
We've talked about this Iowa State team. They're better than last year's team. Now, is that going to show up in the NCAA tournament?
Depends on the matchups, right?
Yeah, I mean,
always does.
Say they're a 4 seed. You got to play 5 in the round of 32.
Right.
It's going to be a coin flip type of game, and you might not get there. But this team has more sustainability.
Yeah, I think they're different because of Oshuni, what he brings to the floor. Tyrese Hunter's gone. We know that. Lipsy's pretty good.
Yes, he is.
And he had a little something to prove after Lubbock when he did not have a good game. In fact, for the first time all season long, I thought, and I know I'm not alone, they looked like a freshman. But Holmes is a difference maker on that team.
Yes.
Kalscher, we knew what he brought to the floor last year. He's a bigger offensive threat this year. Caleb Grill just guards the you-know-what out of you. And Caleb Grill's back, it seems, knock on wood, for the fan base and for the program, that it seems like it's okay.
Yeah.
Because he played 30. No one played more minutes for Iowa State than Caleb Grill did.
That Thursday press conference last week with TJ, when he was talking about it, and I was surprised because it was basically, he's kind of past it.
Yeah.
Because it's a back injury and
you don't get past back injuries.
Right.
Easily.
You have those lingering concerns and, you know, is it a herniated disc? Is it something that it sounds like? Yes, it was a back injury, but not a back injury as maybe usually our mind kind of goes to. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing. They need him.
Yep.
And we've seen that.
Yep.
They're a completely different team. And it's, if you would have said when he transfers in from UNLV.
No.
Because of his defense.
Right. No.
Come on.
I remember when he was here the first time as he's a guy that's going to come in, maybe make a couple of threes. That's what his role is going to be.
Right.
And here he is, and he's got another year of eligibility should he want it. Mm-hmm. And tea leaves are starting to point that, yeah, he wants it. Trey King was terrific in the game.
Yes, he was.
Maybe Trey King's most efficient game in the 16 minutes he played. Jazz Kuntz didn't make a shot, but you know what? It was more about knocking the rust off Jazz Kuntz because they're going to need him down the stretch, and he'll play more than 11 minutes. The big fella, Bob Jones, was... He misses more shots right under the basket than I've ever seen anybody make or miss. I mean, it's just, it's not comical because you want him to score.
Right.
But it's just, how does he miss the shot? But he does other things. This is a big win. Big win for Iowa State. Anytime you beat Texas, the fan base left with a little spring in their step walking out of Hilton. And the narrative, I mean, Jeff Goodman, who wasn't in the building, he left Kansas 5 and Iowa State 7 in his rankings. And the reason why, and he was asked about that on Twitter, well, who comes into Hilton and wins? That was his response.
Yeah.
Until somebody does. So he still thinks Kansas is better. Well, we may get an opportunity to see those two on air quote neutral floor, but look, Clone fans travel down to Kansas City as well. So anyways, that one on the rear view mirror.
They're not going to lose a game at home.
What's their where could they trip up? What do they have left at home?
TCU. If they're healthy.
If they're healthy, yeah.
With Miles and Lumpkin are back.
Yeah, well, both of them, yep.
Before that, they play Oklahoma State.
Who's better, Trent?
They're getting there.
Yep, they're getting better. They've turned a corner, I think.
And the last two are Oklahoma and West Virginia. They're not going to lose at home.
I don't think they're going to lose at home.
Are they going to win away from home?
All right, I mean, let me look. So this week at West Virginia, always a tough spot, no matter how good the team is that goes in there. Very tricky. I will say yes.
They get that one.
At K-State, a little payback for K-State.
Mm-hmm.
at Texas. Remember how that game went?
Yeah.
Remember, go read Chris Williams' Twitter on that night of whatever night it was. He thought there was going to be fights. Carr and Kelscher, two former Gopher teammates getting after each other. That is not going to be easy. And then they finish at Baylor. By the way, I bet Baylor yesterday to win it all.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Jump back to board?
I did, 22-1.
That's not a bad one.
What the heck? Get them while you can. Yeah. If they're north of 20 when I logged on, they were, so I pulled the trigger. I think you better win this Wednesday, Trent, to answer your question, if there's going to be a win on the road.
What do you think the spread is for that, according to Ken Pomeroy, which is always incredibly close to what the points
are? You know what? I don't know. Probably not as big as you would think. Tight. I'll say tight.
West Virginia favored by 4.
Wow. I'm not surprised they're a favorite. A favorite? Yeah, I kind of am. Yeah, I kind of am. I could see Iowa State 1 or 2.
That I thought it was going to be West Virginia by like 1.
Okay.
By 4?
That's a lot.
That was kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, that's the road for you in the Big 12. That's
yes,
the road for you in the Big 12. Iowa-Illinois, really fun basketball game. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of people after the game proclaiming that Carver Hawkeye has not sounded better for a men's game.
Right.
In a long, long time. Hard to argue.
It absolutely was. Talked to some people that were at the game, said it was as good of an environment as there's been in a decade.
Saturdays and a good opponent will do that for you, Trent.
Yep.
1:30 Saturday afternoon, pretty good time.
Somebody mentioned downtown before the game.
Oh, yeah.
That it wasn't a football, but
it kind of had it.
Yeah, there was a buzz in the air.
Yeah.
The Illinois people, and there were plenty of Illini fans that made their way in. That kind of created a little bit more buzz in the building, and they're easy to spot in their orange.
And how about the Boys and Girls Club participants on the floor, and they're all wearing their Hawkeye shirts? Well done. I mean, well, that was a really good look for those boys and girls to have that opportunity fall in their lap, and it did. I saw somebody was trying to do a fundraiser last week to get them all a Carver cone. I hope they were successful in raising enough money to do that. But they made the most out of, you know, that lie, quite honestly. The Orange Crush got caught. But that was pretty good. But the game itself was terrific. It really was. Tony Perkins was out of his mind. Did you think he had one of those in him?
I mean, you know me and Tony Perkins.
No, I know. But did you think maybe, what was the ceiling for him in your mind? A 20?
Yeah, like a 23-point performance, something like that. But getting to the lane whenever he wanted.
16 free throw attempts. He made 15 of them.
The little pull-up jumper that he has, it's always been a huge part of his game.
Right.
And it was on, and you could see that confidence just continuing to build with him. And he's saying, nobody can guard me out here. And he was absolutely right.
Yeah.
In a game where Illinois is doing Illinois things, and they're grabbing, and they're clutching, and they're clawing, and Tony Perkins said, that's fine. I'm just going to get past you, and I'm going to pull up from 15, and I'm going to knock it down seemingly every single time. Then, when he plays like that, you see what happens on the other end, and he's engaged. Now, one thing about Tony Perkins is we've seen plenty of times where he's been, for all intents and purposes, benched.
Yeah,
we've seen long stretches.
And it
this
looks
year.
Like attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, you know what, he's frustrated. Not attitude, frustration.
But every time, I mentioned when I was at the Indiana game and a few other times, but he's still engaged. He's disappointed. Mm-hmm. He's frustrated. You can tell that. But he's still engaged. That is a huge thing. And that gives credit to Frey McCaffrey.
Yeah.
When you have guys like that, and you get ticked off of your player, and you're upset with them, but yet these guys are still engaged. This is what makes Frey McCaffrey what he is and is successful. They're on their way, counting 2020, because they would have been a tournament team in 2020. 8 of the last 10 years making the NCAA tournament. This is back to the level of Dr. Tom.
Yeah.
I know people go kicking and screaming.
Because they're not in the second weekend, but
you know what? Dr.
Look
Tom,
at history.
He had an 11-year stretch where he didn't make it to the second weekend. And it took some circumstances with his contract not getting renewed.
Yep.
You know, without that, did they get there that last year?
No, hard to say.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, hard to say. But I know they did.
Was that enough motivation to push them over? But they had a decade stretch where they didn't get there either. And I think people forget, you have these illusions of early Dr. Tom. Well, that wasn't his team. He didn't recruit those guys.
Yeah.
That was George Raveling's team.
Yeah.
And he took over, and it was a perfect system for what he had. He had 8 NBA players early on.
You can win some games with that kind of roster, can't you?
He didn't have 8 NBA players throughout the whole the whole 90s, though.
No.
He didn't
but
have
I'll
that.
But I'll never forget, Trent, that just the the pulse of the fan base when it, when the contract wasn't renewed, then he went on that run. Mm-hmm. It was one call after another. It was, you know, they're doing the wrong thing. Is there any way that they can keep him? Is there a chance they change their mind? It was, people realized that, you know, it's the end of an era with Tom mm-hmm. Davis, and they all wanted him out, mm-hmm. but then they went on the run. And, oh man, maybe we're,
that's another reaction, revisionist history. That's always funny. And like, oh, I never want. All right, maybe you individually didn't want Dr. Tom.
No, everybody did.
The fan base,
yes,
was ready.
Yes, it was.
And it was all that talk about mm-hmm. next level. And mm-hmm. Steve Alford took him to the yep. next level. Next level down.
Yep.
And then it completely cratered under Licklider.
Yeah.
And now it's back to, let's just say, what Iowa basketball was in the 90s. Okay, you don't want to lump the 80s in there because it was a different time. But what Iowa basketball was in the 90s, Ray McCaffrey has got back to there. Mm. Can he get to that next level? Probably not.
Sure.
Now, is there a run? Right bracket, things open up, those things. Absolutely, that still can happen. And, well, you keep getting there, and you get out there 8 out of 10 years, it's going to happen. Same thing. As you saw with Dr. Tom, there's no guarantee that it's going to get better. If you're one of those people that believe, well, Iowa basketball, they're better than this, they can do better, I'm not so sure. Water kind of finds its level, right?
Yeah.
And this is Iowa basketball. This is a realistic place for them to be, get to the tournament, maybe win a game, and with the right breaks, or just play one of those great games, you can get into the second weekend. That's what you're hoping for. And, you know, of all the teams that they've had here recently, a number 2 seed, yeah. last year, the run in the Big Ten tournament,
yeah.
maybe this goofy team. And this team is weird. They're just, there's tough guys on there. There's attitude. We said it early this season. It felt a little bit different. Then they had the lull there in late November into December. Don't they feel a little different just because of the toughness angle?
I guess, yeah.
You have a multitude of guys. Mm-hmm. Perkins, he's an attitude guy.
Yeah, so's McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's right yeah. there. Rabracha, he's yep. going to bring yep. it with that mentality and maybe having three of those type of guys. Chris Murray's not that kind of guy.
No.
He is what he is.
Yep.
Ulis is not that guy. But those three, maybe that's what they need. Just a little dog in them, right? A little of that toughness. And
yeah.
when you got three guys playing 25-plus minutes a game that all have that kind of attitude, maybe that's the great elixir here.
I thought Connor McCaffrey and Meyer might get into it a little bit. Meyer making all of those shots. I guess there was a little harping going on. I'm looking forward to catching up with Doc because it seems like he was at the game. Underwood and Connor McCaffrey got into it a little bit. Now, I don't know if I think it was good natured.
It was, yeah.
But Meyer and Connor McCaffrey going after each other a yep. little bit. He's a decent player. No, he's better than I thought. At least he was really good. That Danger kid's good.
He was.
He was really good in the basketball game.
He ate Rabracha up
yeah.
quite a few times
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, it's a big body.
He was excellent. That Illinois team's good.
They are. I agree. It's a good win for Iowa. Really good win for Iowa.
You know, Epps was outstanding.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. when he saw Sanford or Dix on him, he was attacking. Mm-hmm. Now, he went right every time.
Yeah.
I mean, make the kid cross over, please. He's going to his right every single time, and they didn't do anything to slow him down. But you saw Perkins got that assignment, and suddenly they slowed him down a little bit. That's what Perkins
Donnie
can do.
Perkins was really good. I hope he's got another win in him. Look, it's a tough ask to think that they're going to go into West Lafayette this week or this Thursday night and come out with the win. Purdue got beat over the weekend. That was a fun game. I watched quite a good bit of that game. You know, Zach Edey gets, I mean, he's unstoppable.
Yes.
He really and truly is. Who's going to stop? Hunter Dickinson, I guess, maybe is the guy in the conference that gives him the best.
But they tried early on in that game to just go, we're not going to double. And Edey got right to the rim uh-huh. whenever he wanted against a 7-1 guy.
Yeah.
That's strong.
Yep.
That's thick. That's a good defender.
Did you see Edey, by the way, in the postgame press conference coming to the yeah. defense of one of his teammates?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's leadership out of the fine Canadian lad, the 7'4", all 7'4" of them. That was really good. Enjoyed that. Fun weekend, college basketball.
And another double OT game for Drake because they went on the road and got it done against Valpo.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't see it. I wasn't watching ESPN Plus at all. I was just kind of following a little bit on Twitter. I did listen to Kevin Lehman do the UNI game against Bradley, and Bradley picked them off on ESPN News. But Drake Valpo, wasn't that supposed to be a laugher?
Yeah. I mean, they were, I think, 9-point favorites, something like that. They were a big favorite in that game, even on the road, and it was a struggle. They
Oof.
Got it done, though. And it was kind of a weird game, too. Valpo shot like 38% from the floor. It's not like they were just draining shots. They did have 10 three-pointers.
And Tucker DeVries had a career high.
Yeah, how about that for a bounce back after the struggle against you and I last week and how he bounced back 32.
Well, speaking of rust, right, he was just, maybe that's the same thing with Jazz Kuntz. Right. Just knocked the rust off, and as we saw with DeVries earlier in the week last week.
And those standings, at least a little bit of separation now starting to happen in the MVC.
So is Drake still on top with their win, correct? It would be tied?
They're a four-way tie at the top.
Yeah.
You got Drake, Belmont, Bradley, and SIU all 10-4.
Oof.
Indiana State's 9-5, and then separation a little bit more, 8-6 for Mo State, Murray State, and UNI.
Yeah, it looked like UNI probably fell out of the opportunity to they're going to play Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's all but what, four play Thursday night now?
Top four get the double bye, if you will, get the opportunity to have that extra day of rest, just have to win three games in 3 days. So that's what you're shooting for. And yeah, with what they still have on tap, they still have road trips to Missouri State, to SIU. Get Drake coming in there. They got Indiana State coming to the McLeod Center. Outside of the road trip to Evansville this week, that put that one in the win column.
We'd like to think,
you would hope so.
Yeah.
But yeah, the opportunity there for the Panthers, need to get at minimum one of these two games, and you know they had plenty of chances against Drake to get it done, and
sure did.
Had it at home against Bradley, not able to do it. Yeah, the possibility, not just a regular season title, but being in the top four, going to be tough now.
That's how it feels to me. Obviously, there's there's opportunities in front of them. The schedule's tough, and a lot of those teams that they're looking up to right now, they still have to play, so the chances are indeed there. All right, a couple of minutes on the Super Bowl. Both teams are going to be there. Again, Jim Brinson is going to join us three times this week from Radio Row. Not sure what he's going to bring to the program. Said that a lot over the years.
Jimmy B.
So for those of you who are new to the station, first of all, we're certainly glad you're here. Brent, I'm trying to figure, was he 2011 to 2016 or 2012?
Was it that long?
So the F-bombs dropped in 2009.
Yep.
Look it up on Wikipedia. KXNO Wikipedia. I'm pretty sure we used to be part of it. I think it still is. and then Peralt came, and he stayed 2 years.
All right.
And then Brinson came and stayed 4 years? Does that sound right? Or five?
You know better than me.
I worked with him.
I was up the dial. I wasn't listening.
I think it was anyways. He's going to join us from Phoenix. That's where he lives. That's where he's spending his golden years.
He's had golden years for a long time, though.
Yeah, he has.
He's been retired without being retired for a long time.
He's played the game exceptionally well over the years. And looking forward to catching up with him as we'll head down to Phoenix. Both of the teams are there. So just kind of, well, you're off. I was going to say you have a right to change your mind by Friday, but I guess in your case, you have the right to change your mind by tomorrow because this is it for you.
That's right. Yeah, you're going to have things covered here for the final 3 days. And you get Super Bowl Monday, too, solo.
Yep.
It's a pretty easy one, though.
I kind of cruise control for the final time.
Right.
But just Eagles for you?
No, I'm still Chiefs.
You're still Chiefs, huh? Where do they have what's the edge that puts you over the top? Is it Patrick Mahomes guy?
There's not a whole lot of handicapping. It's not anything that you're really breaking down.
This team has number 15. The other 31 teams don't.
Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Not bad.
One thing that I was thinking, kind of an angle that I had in my notes, was thinking back to some of the Patriots wins where you're kind of talking yourself into the other team and you're talking to yourself, boy, I think they got an advantage here on the line. I think, oh boy, I really like the receiver. And then it comes back to Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I am right here. Talk about all you want. Mm-hmm. The line play of the Eagles, and they are elite at a lot of positions.
I think they have the edge in the Kansas City has players, right? Mm-hmm. Creed Humphrey's terrific center.
Yes, he is.
Chris Jones is as good a defensive tackle as there is in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Clark coming off the edge is gifted. Willie Gay has had a phenomenal year. They got dudes. But that offensive line. And Lane Johnson cheats every time.
He does.
The right foot. Watch for it, folks. I'm not making it up. He beats the snap every single offensive play and gets away with it. Gets away with it.
It works.
Yeah.
Not going to throw it, right?
Nope. They
haven't.
Not going to
throw the flag every single time. So
now
you're able to find out and figure it out, and they certainly do. That's what I come back to. Mm-hmm. It's just quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple.
So is there any point trying to go past Mahomes or Jalen Hurts for MVP?
Plus 130.
For both of them? And then it's, I mean, you know me, and I love, other than picking games, which I'm awful at, I like to shop for prices, but there's just, it seems like I'm throwing my money away.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Kelsey? Who's getting him the ball?
Right.
Right.
Unless you think that Mahomes is going to be out for a couple of series. Now, you know, could Kelsey have 10 catches, 120 yards, and two touchdowns?
I think they still give it to Patrick.
And say Mahomes throws two picks.
Maybe
you can come up with that.
Anybody? Okay, that's not a bad theory. That's not bad. Anybody else on Kansas City?
Pacheco, does he get the ball enough?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because McKinnon cuts into those. McKinnon's going to catch some passes.
Now, if you want to play the Pacheco angle, the one weakness, if there is even a weakness as call in this stretch, is the Eagles' rush defense this year was 21st in the NFL. So that's one. And maybe this is a game where they scheme in the game plan and it's going to be a running game. And you go that direction. Mm-hmm. And you know he gets 100 yards rushing and he gets a touchdown there. Maybe he catches a swing pass. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's one. What's Pacheco? Do you have it in front of you?
No, I don't.
I want to say it was maybe in the 12-1 range, something like that.
Oh, it's shorter than I thought.
That could be an angle possibly that you're looking at. And then defensively, you go that route. Von Miller, of course, got one. Richard Dent got one back in the day.
Do you know what? That was Super Bowl 50, and he was the best player on the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peyton Manning was awful.
He was, yeah.
Von Miller was the best player on the field, and it wasn't even close.
So I see Kelsey 12-1. Oh, it's deeper than that for Pacheco. He's 35-1.
Okay.
That's a price.
That is a good one.
Miles Sanders, if you want to come back the other way, 22-1. Goddard, 60-1. No.
No.
Frank Clark, 80-1.
No.
Two and a half sacks.
Can't do it.
No. Gardner Minshew, 100-1. Kenneth Gainwell, 100-1.
You know what? That dude he makes some plays. Not very many of them, but
That might be worth a $5 flyer.
Yeah. Maybe first touchdown or something like that.
I love the first touchdown. Anytime touchers go. That's been one of the evolutions for me, betting football, is the touchdown scoring. And it's part of the same game parlays. I like to throw those in there. And not first touchdown, usually anytime touchdown when I'm doing the same game parlays. But yeah, that's one. First touchdown scored. Kelsey is the favorite, plus 650. Jalen Hurts, 7-1. Miles Sanders, 7-1. Pacheco, 8-1. A.J. Brown, plus 950. McKinnon, 10-1. Goddard at 11-1. He's kind of winking at me. I like those tight ends early. 11-1. I think that's going to be part of it. I got to get this work done, though. I got a long...
His rap doesn't work once you get on the airplane.
No. And like I was saying last night, it is just so much. I mean, you have to almost go in. Say you want to bet, I don't know, 20 props. You kind of have to go in with a game plan, don't you?
Yes.
This is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. This is the reasoning behind it.
If you're betting 20 props, make sure you do the math where you don't lose money if you win.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Which is one of the keys to betting futures. If you're surrounded, at least I thought I had it surrounded. I don't have the Eagles. Anyways, let's take a timeout. Nick Olsen's got a couple of MVP guys he wants to chime in at. He'll join us next. But Nick will join us. We'll go back to Saturday, 11 o'clock tip. Hilton Coliseum was packed to the gills. And Kansas never had a chance. Coming up on 11:30. I don't have keywords, Trent. I think the contest is still going on. Do you have them?
Here. Yes. What's today?
So,
the 6th?
Whatever Monday is. Yes. KXNO.com. And since you're there, you'll see the pop-up box. And in that pop-up box, insert the keyword.
Pay. P-A-Y. Pay.
P-A-Y. Pay. KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000. Miller and Condon, Nick Olsen next. Jimmy B will head to Phoenix before the hour comes to an end. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Call or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.
The victim of identity theft.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I'm Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Ton late. Nick Olsen covers Iowa State. Cyclone Alert 24/7 Sports. Yeah, it's really hard to believe that it was just 2 years ago that this team went winless in conference play.
It is.
It truly is.
Yeah.
Let's get Nick Olson in here. Nick, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Apologies for being late. How are you, Nick Olson?
Honestly, guys, I'm doing great. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year between basketball heating up and the Super Bowl. I think there's a lot of fun things to talk about.
Well, let's start with the Super Bowl because you texted me in the middle of our segment that you've got a couple of MVP props. I'm all ears, Nick Olson. What are you doing?
Yeah, so as usual, you know, Trent and I seem to be on the same side with KC. I've been high on them for a while. I think it's the Mahomes factor, so I think that's kind of the smart play. But if you're looking for value, I actually really, really like Hassan Reddick. I saw him at around 40-1.
He is 40-1, yeah.
He's arguably been the best player on the Eagles for the last month and a half, especially since Hurts has kind of been a little injured. Mm-hmm. And I think that if they win that game, it actually comes down to that four or five guys on kind of the front seven of their defense. So that's the one I would pass along, Ken, for sure.
Well, you know what? We saw Von Miller do it in 2015, a similar position as he was unblockable. It's normally a quarterback. You know, it's not crazy. It's not crazy. The NFC Championship, he was the best Eagle on the field. He was in the backfield and in the quarterback's face repeatedly. Not bad, Nick Olson. You know what? Might be worth a flyer, as you mentioned, at 40-1. All right, let's get to Iowa State. Just a convincing win over Kansas. If it would have, should have, they had them beat or had a chance for a different outcome in Lawrence again this year. It went Kansas's way by a pair. Wasn't the case this week. And Iowa State, just from the jump, was the better basketball team. Nick, this was not. You can't point to any officials' bad call here. No, it wasn't. Iowa State just crushed them.
Exactly right, Ken. You know, I did just a little write-up on kind of their new ranking this morning as of number 11 and was just kind of reflecting on the week. And that's very similar to what I wrote. You know, it almost felt like I was talking to, you know, a reporter friend after and some of the fans a little bit later. And it was just like there wasn't really ever this overwhelming sense of, you know, maybe worry or nervousness playing a team like that with a coach like Self that kind of knows how to, you know, speak to the referees and get his team coming back and things of that nature. One thing I was very impressed with, not a surprise at all, as we talked about in Lawrence, but the focus on Oshun and the post play early on. I just think that is such a kind of natural and smart way to get the offense going. Then guys like Holmes can create a little bit later. Kelscher will get some open shots. But I think he's really comfortable, and there's a level of confidence in that post play with him right now that I think can take this team from potentially a second weekend team early on to honestly even going a little bit further potentially if he keeps up that consistency.
It's a wide open year, and why not the Cyclones?
It's true.
The way they
it's
defend,
wide open.
Coupled with an offense that is certainly much better than what we saw a year ago. Last year, they were so matchup dependent. The matchups worked out well for them and getting to the round of 16 this year. It's not matchup dependent. You go out there and they can compete with most everybody in the country. And with the right bracket, you absolutely can get there and talk about, start dreaming a little bit. And boy, how crazy that would be. You mentioned Osuni. Is it him just becoming more comfortable playing in the Big 12? What has happened here over the last 3 weeks where the light bulb seemingly has turned on for him and he's becoming consistent, not just what he can do as a shot blocker and defensively, but what he's also doing on the offensive end? What has it been? What have you seen from him?
Definitely, Trent. So I asked, you know, Coach Osselberger about that a couple weeks ago, and seemingly again, I did this week. I just also find it really fascinating. I think for him, the defense is leading to the offense, not necessarily transition or anything like that, but basically he's gotten his comfort level in knowing what they're kind of asking of him on the defensive end. And because of that, he's able to stay on the floor longer with kind of that comfort level on that end, as well as they're feeding him a little bit more often. I think that he's always had the trust of his teammates, certainly Jaron Holmes, who I know has kind of challenged him throughout the year, along with Coach Osselberger and the staff. But I think it's the defense to offense, as well as, yeah, just an overall comfort in knowing this is what I'm capable of, this is what I've shown in my 3 or 4 years prior. Now I kind of know what this team is exactly asking of me on the defensive end. I just need to play my game offensively. He often has the height advantage. I've been really impressed with kind of some of the touch that he's shown, especially with his left hand the last couple of weeks. Not everybody in even the toughest conference in America can do that. And again, just starting the games with looks like that, I think opens things up for the other 3 or 4 shooters, along with Lipsey kind of is the creator for this offense right now.
Was it, I watched so much basketball, was it Saturday he kind of hung on the rim? I thought they were going to tee him up on after a dunk. Was that this past Saturday?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
One thing I love about Oshun, and, you know, somebody that you guys obviously work with a little bit, Sean Roberts, he really likes him. He's not afraid to kind of show his emotions, which I think is a lot of fun, especially in some of these high-intensity games. But I know that you need to kind of build up that basis of what you're doing defensively to consistently do that, for sure.
Let's talk about Lipsey, who was, you know, he didn't play well a week ago tonight in Lubbock. He looked like a freshman for the first time, and that's a credit to him that he went this deep into the Big 12 before he kind of looked a little bit overwhelmed. Well, that was against Texas Tech, and here comes the brand that is the Kansas Jayhawks, and he had 9 points. He had, 10 assists and 8 rebounds. Just a phenomenal line and a terrific game. A rebound game from Lipsey after Monday night. Great to see.
Yeah, rebound game literally and figuratively, obviously, there, Ken. But I feel like a lot of people are kind of going for that overall stat line, and rightfully so. To me, what impressed me so much is not only kind of having a bounce-back game like that, but against a player in DeJuan Harris that is known as really one of the best defensive guards in the entire country. There were a couple looks with McCullough. That defensive backcourt with Kansas is really good. And I felt like outside of maybe one or two possessions, he was just in complete control and really felt comfortable throughout that game. I think the way he's able to change his pace, obviously he's not, you know, the tallest player, or maybe not the quickest, but the way he uses kind of his head and his handles to be able to change up pace, switch up the defense, and obviously create looks for himself as well as others in the post. I think Iowa State has a really good point guard that has kind of found himself throughout Big 12 play. Obviously, there was that game last week, but I feel like there's so much confidence in him. You can see kind of the honor and how proud Coach Otzelberger is really being around Lipsey, and I think you'll be seeing him kind of star for this team for several years with the Cyclones.
West Virginia coming up this week. There is no nights off in the Big 12, as we know. West Virginia playing well, won 3 of their last 4. Starting to round into form, and Huggy, maybe another NCAA tournament team. Yet you look at it, this might be the easiest of the road tilts still remaining on the schedule here. Going to be a tough one. What have you seen for the Mountaineers, if anything, yet?
That's exactly right, Trent. You know, you mentioned tough one, but it still could be potentially the easiest. I realized kind of talking with some of my readers and subscribers, they seem a little bit more concerned about this game than I have kind of been looking at things. I feel like if you're able to take away Stevenson a little bit for the Mountaineers, which I think that Iowa State has the personnel to do, I feel like as long as they're healthy and able to stretch the floor a little bit for the Cyclones, I do think Iowa State is just a better and more complete team. Yeah. Now, that's a tough environment to play in, and the Mountaineers are absolutely playing their best basketball of the season so far. I think they are a tournament team. I personally think the Big 12 gets 7 or 8 in there, but I just feel like that preparation time for Kansas, I think, allowed the team to work on and figure out a lot of things in this Cyclones team. They still have a couple more days ahead of the game. I think it'll be tough, and it'll kind of be determined on how physical this game is allowed to be. I bet the Mountaineers will be a small favorite, but I still like Iowa State to head into the weekend on a couple-game win streak.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Stevenson. He's had north of 30 points in 2 out of his last 3, the Auburn game and then the Oklahoma game. I wonder who's going to be tasked with guarding him. Does that sound to you like that's a Kalsher-Stevenson matchup on Wednesday night?
Yeah, I asked Coach Otzelberger just about Stevenson in general at the presser today, and he didn't name any players like that, but definitely kind of spoke about his strength. I would personally think Kalsher gets a lot of looks on him just because he's tough, he's pretty quick laterally, and he can obviously be physical. I like Kalsher there with maybe a few different looks with Grill and even Lipsey because he can be so physical even at his size.
Nick, we kind of shortchanged you. I may impose on you Thursday to talk about that game. Trent will be gone, so I'll be looking to talk to somebody about the West Virginia-Iowa State game. Your schedule, if it allows, find some time for you on Thursday. Thank you, Nick. I'll reach out. Anything coming up this week at Cyclone Alert you'd like to share?
Yeah, we've got recruiting updates, basically kind of cupboard full, filled every day going through that. I'm going to be going to a couple games and seeing a few athletes. I can go a little more in depth on Thursday if we make that happen too, Ken. That sounds great.
Well, it works for me. If it works for you, I'll talk to you Thursday. Thank you, Nick. I'll reach out.
Thank you both. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Good to talk to you. Nick Olson on Iowa State. All right, to Phoenix. We'll begin our Super Bowl coverage with Jimmy B. Thrice weekly this week. Sponsored by
Graphite Construction
Group. Good folks at Graphite Construction.
Russ, who you've met, who is part of our NFL draft coverage.
Is he doing the draft again this year?
Yes, we're working through some details of that, of course, in Kansas City this year.
Pretty close.
And he will be at Super Bowl 57 himself.
Really? Nice for him.
Yes. Huge Chiefs fan, season ticket holder.
Oh, nice.
He's going to be down there for the game.
Good for him. We'll take a timeout. Jimmy B next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.com. Jimmy B.
America's guest.
America's guest he is. Jim Brinson will join us Monday, Wednesday, Friday from the Super Bowl. He's sponsored by the good folks at Graphite Construction. Told me he's in line getting his, we should be in line about this time getting his media credential for the week. Are you there, Jimmy B?
Actually, my brothers, I am still in the car, uh-huh. and I am headed toward a parking garage. There is so much construction, you cannot believe it, in downtown, and it is an absolute mess. That's the only way to describe it, is just a mess.
Golf course is busy, I'm going to guess?
Always, and they jacked the rates because
I bet.
Because of the Super Bowl, of course they did, and the rates now are well above 150 for 18.
Jeez. Speaking of golf, isn't the that crazy tournament this weekend as well, Jim?
It is, yes. Waste Management
right.
Golf Tournament is this weekend, and to be honest with you, they have some of the best names in the field yeah. that are at least still left on the PGA Tour.
Right. So how far, so give me an idea, how far is that course from the site of the Super Bowl?
The course is in Scottsdale, and State Farm Stadium is in Glendale. So there's, I would say, roughly driving without traffic, it's 30 minutes on the freeway.
Oh, not bad. So like Ankeny to West Des Moines.
Yes, yeah, similar. Only the traffic is 100 times worse.
Indeed. Well, Eagles and the Chiefs, and we'll get into the game more once you start to get into it as far as, you know, being able to participate in some of the media opportunities that you are. Just, I guess, as we sit here on Monday, do you have a preconceived idea who's going to win this game, Jim, or could you be swayed throughout the week?
I could probably be swayed depending on the injury to Patrick Mahomes and the ankle. I think that's going to be the biggest determining factor. You saw him limping around at the end of the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. So he has a whole week to heal it, and then this week as well for it to get healed. But to be honest with you, I am leaning toward the Philadelphia Eagles as we begin this week. I just think they can do so many other things, and Kansas City has a litany of injured wide receivers.
Yep.
I mean, you still got Travis Kelce, who is all world, but we've seen what that defense can do, the Philly defense, and shut down wide receiving corps. And to be honest with you, who's going to really run the ball effectively for Kansas City? That's another big question.
Need Pacheco to get going, and we've talked a little bit about him this week. Jimmy B joining us live from the Super Bowl site, getting ready for Radio Row. So, Jimmy B, we know you. There's going to be a lot of people there, a lot of hobnobbing, a lot of elbow rubbing with some of the elites of the NFL and just media across the board. So what are you chasing? I mean, I know you got an angle. You got to be looking for something there. Is there a particular former player you want to talk to? Is there, you know, somebody involved in the NFL? Who is your white whale? Who are you going to be chasing down on Radio Row?
Well, to be honest with you, once I get the Radio Row, that's when the party begins. I'm going to shake down Bo Jackson and Doug Flutie. We're throwing a big whoop-de-doo Sunday prior to the game, and Bo and Doug are our special guests.
Nice.
It's at one of the casinos, and in the big showroom, about 2,000 people in that showroom have already signed up to join us for those guys. So I'm going to be hanging out with those two guys. And ironically that you would bring that up, because Flutie and I have a long time connection.
No, Buffalo.
Being that I worked in Buffalo for a long time, and he was the star player there. And you guys will remember Flutie Flakes. So from that standpoint, those are the two guys that I'll be concentrating on. But right now, Monday and Tuesday are not all that exciting, because the big guns start coming in on Wednesday to get ready.
You're doing afternoon drive, right, for the Fox affiliate in Phoenix? Is that what you're up to?
Midday.
Midday, so okay.
In to drive. We're done at 4, yes.
Perfect shift for you, Jimmy B. You don't have to get up early. You probably get 9 holes in at the end of the day. Pretty good for pretty good work if you can get it. It sounds like you did.
Well, it's not bad, Ken. I just said your name, and they said, "Oh, you know Kenny Miller. Yeah. Oh, you're in, man." That's how I got the gig.
Well, you're doing great. I'm looking forward to talking with you on Wednesday, and then again on Friday. I'll shoot you times, Jimmy B. Hopefully, by then you'll have a couple of days to get ensconced in Super Bowl fever. Radio Row. You've been on it before. I've seen it before. It's a cattle call. It really is. It's a lot of fun. Enjoy the week, Jim. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Thank you, bud.
Thank you, fellas. It's always good to talk to you. I'll talk to you Wednesday.
Indeed you will. Graphite Construction Group sponsors our friend Jimmy B. Live from Phoenix. He's going to be in line, so he's got a late start this morning.
Those stories, I can only imagine he's going to be rubbing up to people, looking for interviews.
Hey, man.
Hour 2 will be right around the corner. Nick Athan covers the Chiefs. He'll kick it off. Scott Dockerman covers the Hawks for The Athletic. He'll be in the middle, and then Trent's plays of the day before we get out of here at 1. Hour 2 next, 106.3.